Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence brief on the war for the free world. A man who has served with considerable distinction in a number of capacities, particularly the kinetic kind of warfare in that battle space, is our first guest. He is retired United States Army Reservist Colonel Lawrence Sellin, a PhD on top of everything else, and the author of an important book on the need for a second American Revolution. And we may get to that, we may not in this particular call, but we're going to talk about something else that he has been focusing in on very helpfully and written about most recently at the Daily Caller, which is the phenomenon of China's insinuation of its military as well as its economic might into a lot of very strategic and sensitive places around the world. And I'm delighted to catch up with the Colonel in Finland, of all places. Colonel Sellin, welcome to Secure Freedom Radio, I believe for the first time. It's very good to have you aboard.
Yes, thank you for having me, Frank.
So just set the predicate for this, Colonel, because we're trying to make sense of what the Chinese are up to in a lot of different contexts, but I'm particularly concerned about this so-called One Belt, One Road initiative. And you've made the case that it has an underlying infrastructure in the military domain as well. Talk a little bit about that at the macro level, if you would.
Yes, that's true, Frank. I think it's often good to start at the beginning. It's not news to us that China is seeking global dominance. Now, China has a roadmap for this. And as you said, it's a One Belt, One Road. It's also called the a Belt and Road Initiative that China has. And this is a plan to connect Asia, Europe, the Middle East, and Africa economically to China. And it has a land component and it has a sea component. So we can call this the soft power aspect of the Belt and Road Initiative. But underlying that, there's a hard power component, which is a string of military bases that China is planning from the South China Sea to Africa. And this is mainly along the maritime component. Last year, one of these bases, in fact, it's the first Chinese overseas base, became operational in Djibouti. And as you know, Djibouti is at the entrance of the Red Sea and the Suez Canal. So it's a strategic choke point. Now, back to Pakistan, one of the linchpins of the Belt and Road Initiative is called the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor. Now, this is mainly a transportation network to connect China to Pakistan's Indian Ocean ports of Karachi and Gwadar. Now, in the past year or so, there have been discussions between China and Pakistan about a second military base, which will be located in Pakistan. Now, it was not clear until the end of last year the location of that base. And there were discussions in December that the base would be on the Jiwani Peninsula. Now, the Jiwani Peninsula is just west of that key port of Gwadar near the Iranian border. Now, this is important because the Jiwani base is within reach of the Strait of Hormuz, which is in the Persian Gulf, which, of course, is another choke point. So what concerns me is that originally the upgrade of the Jiwani Airport was Pakistan's responsibility, and that was scheduled to begin in July, but 2 weeks ago, they started work on upgrading that airport. So the schedule has been advanced to establish that Chinese military base on the Jiuani Peninsula.
Yeah. And as you say, the upgrade is for the purpose, it appears, of handling very large Chinese military transport aircraft. And Colonel, you've experienced war firsthand in special forces roles in the United States Army. When you look at these kinds of deployments and infrastructure investments and their proximity to strategic choke points, as we've said, is there any question in your mind that what they intend to do is to use them to project power? And if so, how does it relate to the U.S. facilities in places like Bahrain and Diego Garcia? Are we likely to see this sort of negating, or at least certainly compromising, our ability to exercise influence and, again, project power from those spots?
Oh, you're absolutely right, Frank. The purpose of these is a projection of naval and air power, that is Chinese naval and air power at strategic choke points. And, you know, it's interesting to note that both, even now, the Djibouti base and the planned base on the Jiuani Peninsula in Pakistan will basically block in U.S. bases inside the Persian Gulf and outflank the American base on Diego Garcia. So this is specifically designed to do that.
Let me just mention a couple of the other places where this sort of work is underway, it seems. Obviously, in the South China Sea, we've seen the Chinese creating islands and fortifying them. Panama Canal has Chinese-controlled facilities at both ends. In the Caribbean, they've taken up positions in Cuba and elsewhere. Even the Azores, I'm told, are now being targeted, perhaps by the Chinese, for supplanting a U.S. Air Force base there. And again, Colonel, the point is, as you say, people are probably aware that the Chinese have these ambitions. I fear that what they're not so aware of is the so-called peaceful rise of China argument is being pretty quickly disproven by the increasingly aggressive character of these infrastructure investments and the deployments that flow from them. Are they not?
Well, that's true. It's specifically aggressive. If you look at the pattern is actually the same in how the Chinese operate. They will go into a developing country, which needs money. Now, as you know, the United States usually gives foreign aid in the form of grants, but the Chinese give most of its foreign aid in the form of loans. And what it does is create these debt traps in these developing countries. And it happened in Djibouti. The Chinese now have a 40-year lease on the Pakistani port of Gwadar. The Chinese have just gotten a 99-year lease on the Sri Lankan port of Hambantota, which is now, the speculation is that they're going to create a naval facility in Sri Lanka too. So you can see the pattern or how they're working all over the globe, in fact, as you mentioned, in South America, but in Africa as well, and in a lot of developing areas where they're employing their money to create the conditions where they can not only have economic dominance, but military dominance.
Yeah. My impression is that in addition to the loans, there's also just some direct gifts to certain individuals in prime positions. Corruption, I think, is the term for it. So I think the Chinese are buying goodwill, hearts and minds, as they say, the old-fashioned way.
Well, you're either buying the hearts and minds or they're renting them.
Yes, indeed. And it's translating into, again, a global strategic challenge to the vital interests of the United States. And as you heard from my intro, Colonel Sullen, what I think of as what's left of the free world as well. And this is the sort of thing that I think has made your writings on these subjects extraordinarily valuable. And we appreciate what you're doing at the Daily Caller these days. And I hope that you'll allow us to come to you from time to time for updates on your assessment of this. One of the other plays where the Chinese are active at the moment is, of course, North Korea. I don't know how closely you're following that, but I'd love to pick your brains about the latest developments with breakthroughs on the peace process front with the North Koreans and more. But that's for another day. In the meantime, Colonel Lawrence Sellin, thank you so much for your important service to our country in uniform, as well as that you're rendering these days. Keep it up. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, we'll speak with Dr. Alan Baker, a man who has had firsthand experience with terrorism at the hands of the Palestinian Authority. That and more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.